We're starting a new series this morning that we have cleverly titled, Help, I'm Stuck. And my guess is that most of us can relate, probably all of us can relate at some time in our life to feeling like I'm stuck. Just watch the screens here for a moment. Oh, the links we'll go to make a point. What'd you do at church today? Well, we watched a video of a turtle on its back. But I could tell by your reaction at the end, you were cheering for Mr. Turtle to get unstuck. By the way, I need to tell you that I researched this a little bit, I am told that that is not harmful to Mr. Turtle. It doesn't necessarily mean he likes it, but it's not harmful in any way to him, okay? Just as you were cheering earlier, we want you to know through this series, heaven is cheering as well. But the reality is there are times when we get stuck. When we feel like that either nothing is happening or things are totally out of control, and we just have no way to get our arms around. It feels like we get one step forward and suddenly we're two steps backwards and we're not making any progress at all in whatever it is that we're trying to make progress in, whether it's just our own spiritual journey and connection with God or some very tangible things like, you know, dealing with fear in our lives about some particular element that we're dealing with or our finances or any number of other things. And we just get to those moments where we're stuck. And we don't know what to do. And we want to spend some moments over the next 6 weeks or so just unpacking God's word that has some incredible help for us. And what do we do in those moments when we feel like we're stuck? And this morning, we're going to begin that journey together and talking about specifically when we are facing new seasons, stepping into some new seasons that may feel like a lot of different emotions, from fear to anxiety to just confusion to incredible anticipation. And the story I want us to use this morning for that conversation is found in the book of Joshua. So if you have your copy of the Bible, you have my hard copy this morning with me. And in just a moment, I'm going to grab my iPad, so I'll have my digital as well. Whatever copy you have, I want to invite you to join me in Joshua chapter 1. And then we're just going to park here for the rest of the morning. So you don't have to jump around a lot. Just keep that open, and we're going to keep referring back to pieces of this story. Let me give you some context to just remind you what we're talking about. God's people who were enslaved for generations were freed. And in the process of moving to the land that God had promised them, they got stuck. Literally got stuck in a wilderness. A whole nation of people living in a wilderness with no land, no permanent kinds of dwellings, just kind of stuck in the desert. And Moses was leading them through this time. And it's, you know, there's lots of, those of you that remember the story, there's lots of reasons that they were stuck, but they were stuck. And then they came to this moment when Joshua chapter 1 starts talking, in which they are about to get unstuck and move into a time when being stuck isn't the inaction or the stagnation of being in one place, but suddenly it's something that's thrust upon them, stepping into a new season that brings all kinds of, oh my goodness, experiences. And that's where we begin reading in Joshua chapter 1. So follow along. Thank you for Brenda to have this on the screens for us. I'm going to read from the New International Version. If you've got multiple copies or translations in your digital copy, if you'd like to join me in New International. The Word of God says this in Joshua chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant is dead. Now then you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land that I'm about to give them to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert of Lebanon, from the great river Euphrates and all the Hittite country, to the great sea on the west. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I have written with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Verse 6, be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you, and do not turn to it from the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Father, please take your word and touch our mind through the power of your Holy Spirit with your thoughts this morning to help us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You know, when we think about this issue of being stuck, most of the time, I think, the first image that comes is that of the turtle, that we're not making any progress, we're not going anywhere. But there is another feeling that I was thinking about that we sometimes find ourselves facing, and it's the other kind when everything seems out of control. When I am stepping into new stuff that I just feel so unsteady about, and I can't get my arms around it. You know, there's probably a strong correlation between the concept of being stuck and in control. You know, if I'm stuck, then I've got my arms around everything, but I'm not able to get where I want to get. And then there's that when I have my arms on nothing, and everything seems to be going in multiple directions, and my world is in chaos, and I have no idea. The image that comes to my mind was one of my favorite movies, Top Gun. And you know that scene in Top Gun when Tom Cruise and Goose are doing their training exercises, and they fly through somebody's jet wash, and the plane loses its engines, and they find themselves. And I just remember one of the phrases a pilot who's nearby calls in, and he says he's in a flat spin and going out to sea. And sometimes life feels that way. When I'm in a flat spin and I'm just going out to sea, and I mean, talk about being, I'm not in control of anything. I mean, there is nothing that I can seem to get my arms around, this new thing that's coming our direction. And, you know, I suspect part of the reason that I'm talking about this morning, God knows, Vicki and I certainly have been in a sense, I don't want to characterize it as extreme as I have just described it to be, but we've certainly been in a time of new seasons in our life. Back in the fall, actually back last summer, we just kind of began feeling a stirring of something, and you know, I don't know that either one of us could really articulate it very well, but we just knew that there was change coming. And felt like, you know, maybe something vocationally on the vocation front. And it's just kind of one of those things that you kind of learn to recognize, or, you know, hopefully sense what God's doing. And so and we thought, you know, if nothing else, we feel a little stuck in the not doing anything or need something new, a new challenge or something. We said, let's sell our house. Sounds like a great idea. Let's sell our house. And, you know, we'll find something else. If God's doing something else and vocationally, we'll be able to move and relocate and do whatever. If not, we'll build something else, or we'll find something else new. And, you know, we'd lived there a long time. We had built that house, and it was time for something new. And so in November, I think like the day or two before Thanksgiving, wasn't it, babe, we closed on the sale of our house. And we have a beautiful, you know, humongous fifth wheel travel trailer that we bought from Jay Loveland a few years ago. And it's got, you know, 59 slides that go out every direction. And I mean, it's like a house on wheels. And so it's not like we're holding a sign up and got a tent out here in one of these little parches of trees to look for us. We're very, very comfortable. And we knew we had that. We'll just kind of watch for something else, watch what God's doing, and watch for another house, and maybe build something, et cetera, et cetera. That was back in November. And then, yes, I know, it's still, now it's August of the next year, and we're still there. And then in January, And we kind of knew this was coming. There was a lot of changing happening with my job at Willard Schools. Our superintendent was retiring. And however, whether that started some dominoes or whatever, a whole rash of people were moving and were retiring and changing in leadership across the district. And it became pretty clear that I was going to be one of those that was going to need to make a change. And so, you know, now it's house, and then in January it's, okay, vocation's going to be wrapping up, and there will be a vocational transition coming for us when this school year contract actually ended the end of July with Willard Schools. And then, of course, you know, in March, the loss of our son. And, you know, I'll just, while I'm mentioning that, I'll just say again the incredible embrace that we have experienced from our family and friends, this church being the core of that and radiating out to those that we've known. I still get text messages. I got one this week from a dear friend, thinking of you guys today. Hope you're doing well, praying for you. Man, I mean, you know, it's taught me about ministering to others as I have been ministered to. And so here we are in August. We are still living in, you know, in our trailer. It's starting to not be quite as much fun, you know, as it was adventurous back in November and December. We're in the midst of trying to figure out what God's doing vocationally. We're moving through loss and living in a new normal when everything seems to be just a little bit chaotic. And this passage of Scripture, this story, which I've shared with you before, and it's already, I can tell, a theme this morning, one of my favorite passages of Scripture, one of my favorite stories here out of Joshua, screams at me about embracing, about living in, managing through, navigating the path in the midst of new seasons. And so I want to give you five words. I'm going to do these quickly. And not say a lot about them, but they're all in this story because this is exactly what God's people in this story were experiencing, an incredibly new season. 40 years of being in one place in a desert. You know, they had settled into their routines, even though it wasn't anything that you would try to aspire to. They had homes and they had places for 40 years, and suddenly we see something come their way that is a sea we just need to grab a hold of and get our arms around. The C word is this: it's change. Okay. If I was to go across the room and say, how many of you like change? Probably a few of you would raise your hands, but most wouldn't. I don't like change. Kind of like, you know, the guy that his wife was a garage saler and saw this beautiful needle point and had bought it and took it home trying to figure out what to do with it. And there was this place on this wall, this huge wall in their dining room that was completely vacant, nothing on it, and hadn't been there for years and years and years. She thought, what a perfect place for this beautiful art piece. And so she put it on the wall and hung it there and couldn't wait for her husband to come home that night and she could show it to him. And so they sit down at the dinner table and she showed it to him. And he's, yeah, you know, that's nice. And went to bed that night. The next morning, she got up, and the piece was gone. She looked around for it. She couldn't find it. It was behind the, she found it behind a bookcase, just kind of tucked in behind the bookcase. Oh, that was kind of weird. I wonder what happened. It fell off the wall, or, you know, so she hung it back up. Next night, came home. They had dinner together, went to bed. She got up the next morning, and it was gone again. And she went right back to the same place, and there it was, tucked behind that bookcase again. So she got it back out, hung it back up, and that night at the dinner table, she said to her husband, honey, you're moving that. Do you not like that piece? No, I think it's beautiful. It's really nice. Is the message of it, because it had some writing on it, I think it's gorgeous. Then you keep taking it down. What's the problem? I just don't like change. A lot of us are that way. Here's when we're experiencing a new season in life. One of the things that we have to get our arms around is to embrace change, because the reality is we do like change. None of us want to go back to be, I don't think, the little baby in a crib that was completely dependent on someone else for everything from diaper changing to being fed. we changed, we grew, we got. All of us want, it's not that we don't like change. In fact, we're grateful that we are growing, and now some of us are getting to the point where we could slow that down, that maturation down just a little bit, perhaps, that aging process down a little bit. Can you believe that I accompanied my wife yesterday on her 40th class reunion? I can't believe that she's been around that long to have a 40th class reunion from Hillcrest High School. Some might want to change that a little bit or slow that down from time to time. But the reality is, change is a part of the way we're created. I mean, growing and evolving and maturing is part of what God created, and that's what God's people here experience. They start off verse 2. Moses has died. Moses has been their leader forever. Moses is pretty much the only leader that this generation of people ever knew. And suddenly he was gone in verse 2. In verse 1, right out of the gate. Moses, my servant, is dead. And then, as if it wasn't enough to have the loss of their servant, right on the heels of that, God says to Joshua, "Now then, you and all these people get ready. Now you and all these people get ready. Something's coming." And then in verse 5, "You, Joshua, will now lead these people to inherit the land that I swore to their ancestors." Not only have you lost your leader, but get ready because something big is happening. And oh, by the way, you're going to be the one to lead them. Okay, I can do that. The reality is that we are made to grow. What God, listen to me, God will not leave you the way you are right now. Somebody say amen, okay? I mean, he won't leave you if you'll let him. You're going to change one way or the other. The only question is, do we change in our understanding and fellowship of God and the direction and the path that he's leading us, or do we change in our own destructive path and pattern to this world? Here's the first lesson. We just got to grab it. Embrace change. It's going to happen whether you want it or not. So embrace it. When there's an opportunity for a new season to come your way, God is doing something. What is he doing? Here's the second word. The second word is challenge. In verse 2, the Bible says, God said to Joshua, "Get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land that I am about to give you." See, here's the problem with change. It's not that we don't necessarily like change. It's the challenge that we're afraid might be coming our direction because of the change. Because we have this little thing that we live in, this little bubble, and when we're there, we like it. I found a little skit guys deal that illustrated that well. It's really short. Watch the screens.
This is Jack. Jack is happy. Jack is happy because he's in his comfort zone. Go, Jack, go. Jack is a good driver. However, he has been stopped for DUI, driving underinflated. Jack loves to go to church. Go to church, Jack. Go! Jack used to enjoy visiting with friends over a good meal at church. However, he stopped going to meals at church because meeting new people is out of Jack's comfort zone. Jack used to volunteer in the children's ministry. However, he stopped that because children are outside of his comfort zone. Oh, look at them giggle. That's gonna make Jack cry. Jack tried attending a small group one time. However, the leader said, "Jack, why don't you share with us?" And that, you guessed it, was outside of his comfort zone. Jack has many dreams, desires, and ambitions. He wants his life to count for something. However, that will never happen because life lived inside the comfort zone is life lived outside of God's will.
You think God knows your comfort zone? Of course he does. He knows exactly, and what in his process of growing you and growing me to become all that he's created us to be will mean that we will not only experience change, but we will experience some challenge in that change. Joshua and the people of Israel here, the challenge that was being presented to them was horrendous. I mean, we're not talking about a small little, try this or step into this world for a moment. In verse 2, he said, get ready to cross the Jordan River. That in itself with a nation of people was not a small thing. But as if that wasn't enough, in verse 4, he said, oh, and here's the territory you're going to occupy. From the desert of Lebanon to the great river Euphrates and the Hittite country to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. Here's what he's saying. You're not just going to go battle with one army. You're going to go battle with seven armies over the course of getting to the place where I've created you to be. The challenge was huge. Can I tell you this? I've learned this from my Christian walk. God isn't ever calling me. He rarely calls me to do what is easy. He rarely calls me to do what is easy. And the reality is, I guess I can understand that because I don't need him for what's easy. You know, I got some skills. I got some abilities. I've been around the block multiple times. There's some things I can do on my own. Therefore, it's reasonable for me to believe that as God continues to grow me, he's going to stretch me in some ways and challenge me to some things that I clearly can't do except he does through me and in me. More often, he calls us to do the things that we can't do on our own because he's trying to teach us to trust him. So embrace the change and accept the challenge. Is my word. Accept the challenge. If when God leads us to something that seems impossible for us to do, and when all the things line up that help us to see this is God moving in my life, accept that challenge. Third C was this, courage. I'm grateful that God doesn't just expect me, nor did he expect Joshua to just to smile and, you know, bow and say thank you. And move forward. For multiple times, as he presents this huge challenge in change, he says to Joshua, be strong and courageous. Verse 6, be strong, Joshua. I know this is a challenge. I know this is scary. Be strong, Joshua. Verse 7, be strong and very courageous. Says it again in verse 9, have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous, have courage. As you move out with me, there's no doubt that it takes courage to follow Christ. Let me say that again. There's no doubt that it takes courage. Anyone that says that following after Christ is easy is lying or doesn't know what followership looks like. Okay. Probably still in their bubble, not allowing God to challenge them. It's not hard. It's not easy. Following Christ in the paths that he challenges us to is not easy. It takes courage. It takes courage to talk with a family member and a coworker about Jesus. That takes courage. Anybody deny that that doesn't take some courage? It takes courage to stand up to political correctness when you see it and hostility toward Christianity and our post-Christian culture. It takes courage to be faithful, to give back to God in tithes and offerings when money is short. It takes courage. It takes courage to step out into a new adventure of serving in ministry when we can't quite fully understand how we can accomplish that. Again, I say, God rarely calls us to what's easy because the easy doesn't require him. And so I say, as we face these new seasons, getting unstuck in the midst of an opportunity God presents us means be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. No need to rephrase anything that the scripture says there. Simply, when it comes to courage, be strong and courageous. The 4C is this, confidence. I love the way God unpacked this challenge to Joshua. In verse 3, he says, listen to me, I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. In verse 5, he said, no one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. Here's what he's saying. Joshua, Mike, insert your name. Have confidence. Have confidence. If I'm calling you to this, I'm big enough to get you through it and to help you succeed, help you to experience all that I have for you in the midst of that. We can have confidence in God's promises to us. Do you agree with that? We can have confidence in God's promises to us. And we know that partly because his word says it, partly because most of us in this room have lived long enough following God to see his hand of work, to know how he's brought us through things before now. We can look around to family and friends and other people and see how he's worked in their lives. And that history, that story of God in us gives us confidence as we approach new seasons in life. We can be confident in his promises that his passion for us is undeniable. Here's three P's to have confidence in. His passion for us is undeniable. I mean, would you send your son to be the sacrifice for sinners, for people who have rebelled against you, if you weren't passionately in love with them? Of course not. His passion for us is undeniable. His plan for us is perfect. We know that. He tells us over and over and over again in his word as he recounts and rephrases the message of Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, that says the Lord. I have a plan for you. But you can be confident in that. You're not out here wandering in a wilderness without my work in your life. We have confidence in his presence with us that is ever confident. And so I say, have confidence in God. Here's the last C that I give you, and we're done. The reason that we have confidence, the reason that we can embrace change and accept a challenge and be strong and courageous in the midst of that and have confidence as we move into new season is because we have a champion who has already gone before us. I love the fact that in these short little verses, in this one huge story that's compacted in just a few sentences, we hear what God's already done. Verse 5, listen to God speak to you and me. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you or forsake you. Verse 9, do not be afraid. I know this is a big deal. I know this is scary. I know this feels out of control. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you forever, wherever you go. You know that God, through our acceptance of Jesus Christ, we're never on our own. Listen to me. Let me say that again. We know that with God, through our acceptance of his son, Jesus Christ, with God in our life, we are never on our own. It feels like it sometimes. I mean, it feels like sometimes we're standing out on the edge of a tree branch that, you know, is about yay big, and we're thinking, what am I doing here? The reality is that we have a champion that is right there with us, that is walking us through opportunities, seasons where we can grow. Whatever we do, wherever we go, he is with us. David learned that late in his life. But David learned that when he penned the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. Now, David was a shepherd, and David was a king. And he acknowledged with all of his kingliness, with all of the power and the majesty and the wealth that he had, the Lord is my shepherd. That's all I need. I don't want for any more. And here's how I know that. Here's what he does for me. He makes me lie down in green pastures. Leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. Leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He's got a rod and a staff, and those comfort me as I'm moving into new territory and taking new ground for him. We have a champion. For those who have accepted that salvation, we're simply doing two things. Because of resurrection morning, when Jesus, through the wrappings of death, conquered hell and death and paid the payment for our sin, he's already won. he's already won. He's already champion. Therefore, when we move into these new seasons that he's challenging us to, regardless of the size of the challenge, when we move into though, we do so with a champion that's already been there and is walking right with us and knows right where to go. Therefore, we're just doing two things on that journey. We're getting better at knowing and loving him, and we're recruiting as many as we can to come with us, to join the team, to come into that same sense of security and hope and confidence that in both in this life and in the next we have God. That's all we're doing. Whatever the challenge is, we're getting better at knowing and trusting God and learning his ways, and we're recruiting as many as we can to experience the same victory, the same confidence, the same peace, the same hope for eternity that we have. So I say, regardless of how you feel and being stuck, I say, embrace the change. Embrace it. You're going to change one way or the other. Why not change? Why not change in the direction that God has for your life? Embrace the change. Accept the challenge. Yep, sometimes it's going to be big. Sometimes it's going to be huge. Sometimes you say, whoa, how can I possibly do that? You know, when I say that, then immediately, the Spirit of God in me says, yep, that's right. That's the point. That's the point. It's not something you can do. That's why I'm calling you to it. Because I want you to see some things that only I can do in you. Embrace the change. Accept the challenge. Be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. Why? Because you have confidence. Have confidence in a champion that loves you. He doesn't just have your back. He has your plan. He's right there with you when you go through these times. I want to pray for us. I want to pray particularly for those that may be going through some new season or facing some new seasons, and say to you, you're not alone. There's a bunch of us. I'm on your boat, okay? We're all kind of, we're going to take this journey together. But I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you out of the story of Joshua that these seasons, while they may feel like you are just in chaos, in a flat spin, heading out to sea, and I can't get a bearing on anything, embrace the change. God's at work. Accept his challenge. Be patient. Be courageous in the midst of it. Have confidence in him because he is your champion. Father God, thank you for your word, and you know, I'm going to say this, Father. I want to say it with sincerity, but we all, you know, we all have a little hesitation when we say thank you for the new seasons that you bring our way. They make us uncomfortable, but that's probably the point, that you're teaching us to trust you more, to lean into you more, that when we learn to lean into you in new seasons, that's when you have us in a place where you can not just grow us, but you can impact others because of what you're doing in us. And so we humbly lay ourselves before you. A song we sang earlier about surrendering ourselves to you. We do that, Father, as best we know how. We feel sometimes like the guy in the Bible that said to Jesus, I believe, help my unbelief. We trust God. We have confidence. We embrace. Help us when we don't trust and where we don't have confidence and when we don't embrace, that we may please you and be used of you to help others come to experience your great love for them. We pray it in Jesus' name. Stand together and one more time sing this last song with the band.